I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Six touches, 5 yards total. That ball's out. Picked up by the Saints and Jordan. And now they're saying incomplete pass. And they've blown it dead. Jordan's down the sideline, but Walt Anderson is saying incomplete pass, no fumble, with pressure by Onyemata.
You say a touchdown got taken away. I mean, I didn't even hear the whistle. I grabbed the ball 15, 20 yards down, and allegedly a whistle was blown. Clearly, I mean, a whistle was blown. Where normally you let the play happen, referee usually tells you you let the play happen and then you go back and review the play.
So some things changed, a la the injury to Drew Brees. Some things stay the same. Calls going against the Saints. I believe it was Walt Coleman who had to come on the air and speak about the mistake made by the officials yesterday. Cam Jordan, as you heard there in postgame, with a little bit of a zinger at the Foot Locker officials.
Referee.
After they dressed up in all the fans all dressed up in referee shirts for week one. Look, bottom line is Walt had to come on the air and say, yeah, the referees are trained to not stop the play so that they can go back and review it and get it right. And once again, instead of screwing it up, the Saints got screwed over.
Yeah.
And even Cam Jordan, when he came over to the sidelines, was mic'd up going, that was all, that was totally for naught. I knew right away that I shouldn't have even run.
Yeah. And it really, you know, it's the difference between losing 27-16 and 27-9. So it's very important.
Let's see what you did there. Anyway,
Saints fan fans is saying, look, that could have been a momentum builder, Barry. You don't know what could have happened after that touchdown.
Look, that had nothing to do with them giving up 27 points and Drew Brees not
that's
playing.
For sure.
So settle down a little bit, Saints fan. I get it.
Giving up points against the Texans?
Yeah, you got screwed again, but it didn't cost you the game like some people are claiming that it did. Drew Brees' thumb cost you the game.
Yep, sure did.
Yeah.
But I think there's people that are going to beg to differ with you.
That's fine. And one of them's probably on hold.
He is.
And he can beg and differ all he wants, but he'd be wrong.
What's the statement we're not supposed to use, Clarence? What's the fighting words that you didn't want to hear today?
See, Barry, there you go, assuming that I was going to disagree with you.
You know I'm just messing with you, buddy.
See, I was going to agree with you. That did not cost him the game, but the game would have been called differently from a coaching standpoint.
No.
You could have run the ball a little more. The defense was playing lights out at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could have been called differently. Now, did that cost them the game?
You're right. Goff may have thrown for 400 yards instead of 280. You're right. They would have probably put up 28 in the second half instead of 21.
But I'm just saying, when that happened, and then they had to go back on the field, penalty after penalty, and the fourth and one that you didn't convert. You know, things start snowballing, and then that's it. You just couldn't – the defense was on the field for too long, and that's it. But that right there didn't cost him the game, but man, oh, man.
Clarence, just get over it.
It's not a good
Clarence,
look,
Clarence,
though.
Just get over it.
I totally get it, man. It's not – you don't want to keep having these issues with referees in a Saints game, and it starts to look intentional, and I don't think it is. I just think referees in the NFL right now are bad.
Yeah, and you know what? That is true. That is definitely true. But that's not even what I want to talk about. I want to discuss Drew Brees and it's not being a whole the sky isn't falling yet. But I said in these first four games, if we came out 2-2 with Drew Brees, considering the schedule, we would have been fine. We have six more games before the bye week. If we come out this, I would say 500, 4-4. We have a bye week, home against Atlanta. Maybe he comes back then, maybe he doesn't. But after a week of rest, we'll see. I'm not ready to mail in the season yet, like still a fan won. I'm just saying, guys.
Okay, get over it, Clarence. I just wanted to see if you would meet us at the Gal Media Studios. Because Clarence, by the way, in case you don't know,
appreciate the call,
Twitter,
Clarence.
His tweet was, anyone who says get over it, just give me a location and a time, and I'll meet you there. And that was after...
Passionate.
Yeah, 2 hours earlier when I quote, but I can't quote directly, F these refs, FFF.
Wow.
Don't think he was emotional yesterday, but I feel your pain.
I will say this to Clarence and all Saints fans out there. You can take solace in the fact that the NFC South so far doesn't look like a very formidable division. And he's right. If they go 5-5 or, 4-4 or something in that, and if they can figure out how to go 500 before Brees gets back, I mean, Atlanta doesn't scare you right now. I mean,
they didn't look good last night either.
No, Carolina looks terrible. The Bucks are 1-1, but the wheels will come off of that real
fast.
That's
why I said they're lucky in terms of the two quarterbacks that it's only 6 weeks, because I think they can rebound. I think they'll still win the division, and I think they still have a shot simply because of the fact that, like you said, once he gets back, and what, like Clarence said, if they go against the schedule you just said, Barry, and they come out and he's healthy. Yeah. You know what? It's almost a bonus because you get one of the best quarterbacks in the league that's going to be fresh at a time when you need him to be, and you're playing divisional opponents, and you can make up whatever ground you might have lost. But in the process, you may still be in first place by the time he comes back with the way those other teams are playing.
Or within striking distance.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think the opposite could be said for the Steelers.
The
Baltimore is looking tough. The Browns, if they figure things out, we'll see how they play tonight. But I think as they start to build some chemistry on the field, they're going to get better. I just don't know if the Steelers have enough to overcome the entire season. If it was six games, you might make a case for it, assuming the Ravens tail off a little bit or Lamar Jackson starts to get figured out by the rest of the NFL. But
and we were talking about the accuracy issues of Deshaun Watson. Matt Ryan, ooh, he had at least three overthrown
deep
balls.
The two deep balls were wide open.
And I could have missed more. Yeah. So that's a good thing,
but
if you're a Saints fan.
Here's the other thing, too. The Browns are looking like... are looking square in the face at they could either be the Texans and either crap the bed or just get a mediocre win tonight, or they can do what the Texans were supposed to do. They can go in and take a wounded Jets team on national TV and say, last week was a fluke. We got way too much talent on this team, and we're going to get rolling, and we're going to do what we need to do. And we'll see what they're made of tonight, because this is a trap game. Because you know that Le'Veon Bell's got a shoulder issue, but he's going to play. You know you're playing without Darnold. You know that the Jets are not even close to what a lot of people were hyping them up to be. You should go in there and spank that booty and move on with a smile on your face going, the division's right in front of us. We haven't played a divisional opponent yet. We got a shot. As opposed to if they just kind of just get by, or even worse, if they lose, that whole thing could implode too.
Oh, if they lose, that's going to be
bad.
I don't think they lose tonight. I think they're 6.5-point favorite.
Well, it should be more than that. But I mean, look, and the thing is that this might be a little premature on all of the many endorsement deals that our boy is getting if he doesn't perform well tonight and step up and say that, you know, he's ready for the challenge. Because, man, I'll tell you what, that's a team that a lot of people, we said that the highest action for Super Bowl was the Browns of all people, of all teams.
Yep.
If they don't show up this week and or they barely win, that's all going to be for nothing.
I don't think that's going to be an issue this week.
It better not.
It won't.
Is all I'm saying.
Remember, they're a 6.5-point favorite on the road. That means that's including the 3.5 that or the 3 you get at home just by being at home in the NFL.
Right.
I don't think this game is close.
I don't either. But again, I thought they'd beat the Titans in week one.
Yeah, I think that Titans defense surprised some people, even though this week they, didn't have a great week.
Baker Mayfield's just got to avoid throwing 3 interceptions, right?
That's the big thing.
Yeah, and just I don't say he has to be a game manager, but be more like the Baker Mayfield of last year instead of looking like a guy that should have been the way Minshew played yesterday, the way he played in week one.
Part of the problem with the Browns is I think they were too much huffing their own farts. They just need to go out there and play football and take care of their business, and because they have the talent on both sides
no
of the ball,
doubt about
I think that they'll be fine. I think they got a little too caught up in the hype in week one and let the team, a Mariota-led team, beat them.
Yeah,
I don't think that happened.
And that's where Freddie Kitchens has got to step up, because you're right. There's the talent is there, but he's got to be able to put it all together and get them to play with some cohesiveness. Otherwise, it's all going to be for naught too. So we'll see how it all goes. But again, a stinker of a game to your point about national TV games and early season.
And then,
by the way, if it doesn't go good for you tonight and you don't think it's a big game that you can stomach, Thursday night, at least you have Titans-Jags. And that'll make you feel a whole hell of a lot
Barry
better.
Can't watch it anyway.
Boy,
right?
You were so right about how good these games Joel.
Shut up.
So right.
Jeez.
Let's get Juan's call in here before we go to break, because I know he's got to get to work or whatever. Juan, what's up, man?
All right, I'll try to make this quick. First of all, I disagree with you trying to tank. I'm absolutely against tanking. It is detrimental to the team chemistry. If you want to build any chemistry throughout the season, especially with a new quarterback. So no tanking, absolutely not. And secondly, I think now the only reason I have to watch the rest of the season is my two bets. I just want to try to save face against these Broncos fans I work with. I'm hoping for a winning record, if not a better record than the Broncos do. And, of course, Joel, our bet, I hope the Browns don't get the division that you called 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens look pretty good.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Juan. Yeah, Ravens looking real good right now. Not only are they putting up a tremendous amount of points, but they're not giving up many points.
Okay, can I just throw this out there just as a caveat?
I was going to say,
you got to
look at who they've played. And I'll say this, that I don't want to be disparaging against Cowboy fan, but the same is true for the Cowboys.
Yes.
I'm high on what Dak Prescott has been doing, but this Cowboys team really hasn't been tested yet playing the Giants and the Redskins, and now they're going to play the Dolphins, and then they play a Saints team with no Drew Brees. They're not really going to get a test until the Jets, Eagles.
No,
they're going to play the Packers. They're going to get a test there. They've got the Eagles a couple of games after that, but I think through 4 games, the Cowboys should be undefeated and feeling invincible.
But here's the thing. You talk about their defense, the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler Murray put up 350.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bend not break in a lot of ways, too. So, I mean, I want to see.
He put up 350 and it translated into 17 points. So 6 in the first half and 11 in the second. That defense is just fine. If you're playing from behind, because it was what, 17-6 at halftime?
It wasn't.
There's going to be a lot of passing yards that you give up, but they just didn't give up any touchdowns, and that's really, other than the late in the fourth quarter. So, I think their defense is fine. I think that Ravens team right now, and the more that Lamar Jackson is able to prove that he can throw the ball, the more scary that becomes, because he reminds me, and I got in trouble for this, but I think it's 100% fact if you look at it, and the way he throws, he reminds me of Mike Vick a lot.
I don't disagree with that.
I mean, the way he can stand in the pocket, he doesn't necessarily, his throwing motion is just
yes, and his
identical.
Deep balls, I was going to say, with ease.
The tightness of the spiral and the lack of arc on it, it's just, he's out there just slinging BBs. His throwing motion and the arc of the ball, everything reminds me of Mike Vick.
He's side-arming balls 65 yards down the field.
And full disclosure, I said that on Twitter, and a friend of mine who is African-American was like, oh, of course you said that because he's black. I was like, no, dumbass, watch some football. Because his throwing motion is identical. The ball is identical. And then funny thing about that is John Wessling found a video where, guess who? Mike Vick goes, yeah, that Lamar Jackson is a – is identical to me. It's the spitting image of me on the football field. I was like, see?
I wouldn't have helped you out. I would have put like two side by sides of Kyle would have. Murray and Vic talking at the same time or something like that.
No, but I mean, that's a scary proposition if he's figuring it out.
Lamar Jackson,
it really is.
And Lamar Jackson's figuring it out, which is something. And then don't think that it's not similar to what the Texans and everybody's doing in the AFC South. Yeah. When they see what's happened to the Steelers, when they see what the Browns are doing, even if they didn't get credit before, there's a quiet confidence that starts building quickly.
My only concern with the Ravens in that Cardinals game is the fact that Lamar Jackson was their leading rusher with 120 yards. Second closest was Mark Ingram of 47.
I was say, where's Mark Ingram?
That's a little
who you
scary.
Signed.
Yeah, he didn't even average 4 yards a carry. Got to clean that up.
There you go. All right, well, we'll circle back to some more NFL because there's plenty more to get to and to talk about. And if there's things on your mind you want to get off your chest, you can join the show. But we also got to talk about that baseball team here in Houston that is still kicking ass, taking names, and putting up numbers. And so the Astros, after a weekend sweep of the Kansas City Royals, are coming home to wrap up the Silver Boot. So we'll talk about some Astros and some other things as we progress on right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number two, 3 hour show, almost to the midway point. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. While you were sleeping, or better yet, while you were observing all the football yesterday, you may have missed. Thank you, Barry.
What? That was off mic. You don't have to.
But my mic picks things up too.
It was off mic.
Yeah, but you got a big ass mouth and that decibel level.
Yeah, and the stink factor that people can't experience
onions?
On the Twitch.
Grilled chicken.
I'm about to start twitching. Like, oh my god, that will knock you right
that was
out.
Awful.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of grilled chicken,
yeah. How about your nuggets?
Boy, I was so pissed today. Driving in, as you guys know, I always stop and get Chick-fil-A. And I get grilled nuggets, and they've been putting them in this little cardboard tub thing. And I take my two sauces, hot sauce, whatever, buffalo sauce, and I pour them in there, and I shake it all up. And then I just eat out of the tub while I drive. Well, there was a car in the slow lane, and I set the tub on my my elbow rest in the middle, the armrest in the middle, right? And I went to go around him, and as I'm honking at him to get the hell out of the way, I kind of swerve, and when I do, my bucket of nuggets goes all over the seat next to me, the passenger side. Oh, I was so pissed. I was like, that's what I get for being a dick, first of all. That's what. If I'd have just been all cool about it, then it wouldn't have been an issue. But I had to show out and act like an a-hole on the freeway. I had 12 nuggets all over the place on my seat. Just everywhere.
And you're going to have an air freshener in your car for the next 6 months.
Oh, it's the worst. Now I'm like, damn it, I'm hungry. So now I'm just eating nuggets off the seat.
the germ rule just goes out the window, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know.
Because your fat ass was hungry.
I was too hungry. That's right. I wouldn't eat that egg roll that they dropped on the table Friday at the West.
I know.
But I did eat them nuggets off that booty seat. I was hungry, bro. I was like, I can't not eat these. This is
who's sat in that seat?
Oh, there's been a lot of ass in that seat. I ain't gonna lie. It wasn't the easiest thing in the world to do, but I had to man up.
Sometimes, like, who are some of the bigger gentlemen that sat in that seat?
I don't know.
You know?
Actually, there hasn't been a lot of people that have ridden with me in that car.
Has Joel sat there before?
Nope. No.
Right. You're good then.
Oh, okay. Just because I'm the most notorious guy with gas in the show.
You worried I would get like butt mites or something?
You ever give Cody a ride?
No. God, no. Are you kidding me? I would have torn the seat out. Throw that away. Hell no.
Were you going to put Cody in the trunk? Where's he going to ride?
Oh, you ain't right.
I mean, you said you would tore the seat out.
After
the ride.
Yeah, afterwards.
What about Andy Huggins?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely, yeah. Yep. There's
been some
old man ass on the seat for sure. That is a fact. Well, it had to be done. Just had to eat it. Nope. I don't want to hear from either of you about that.
Oh, that's totally going to be isolated.
Gotta be saved right there.
I do want to give a shout out to our fine listeners that came to shows this weekend. I had two shows. I was in Tomball on Friday. I had listeners come out to that.
Good.
And it was that was a fun show. A little noisy because it's a bar, but that usually happens. And I noticed this. It's always the guy that you have to tell to shut up from the stage that wants to come up to you afterwards and talk. I don't know why that is in comedy, but there was this dude that he was being all loud and he was drunk. And I was like, hey, are you done? Because, you know, I can hear you. This isn't TV. This you're being very loud and it's obnoxious and annoying. He was like, oh, okay. I was like, well, just shut up. It's cool. Just don't talk no more. And then it's always that guy that wants to come up afterwards and be like, you were so funny. I'm like, bro, how do you know? You were talking the entire time. You didn't hear anything. He's like, oh, man, I remember you were saying this joke. That reminded me of a story. I'm like, I don't want to hear your story. I really don't.
So did you tell him that?
Yeah, nice. I was like, I really don't care.
I believe you said that.
I believe it too.
I really feel like you're just trying to make up for the fact that you were talking while I was on stage. No, bro, I'm like, just do us both a favor. Just walk away. It's okay.
And you wonder why your nuggets went flying all over the
place. I mean.
Karma's a strange thing.
Now, here's the thing, though. Here's what I'll say. I would have expected that to happen at my gig on Saturday night because everyone had me scared to death about the show in Village Mills.
They were texting.
North of Kuntz, north of Beaumont. People were texting. When I said where I was going to be on Saturday at the West, people started literally laughing out loud and pointing at me. You're going to die. Yep. I was like, what? They were like, bro, that is the roughest bar in East Texas. Like, people were saying, I have posted about it on my Facebook fan page, and literally the comments were like, man, I've mopped up so much blood in that place. I was like, what?
Whoa.
People were like, I hope there's chicken wire around the stage.
I was just going to say, Gilly from the movie or something?
Yes. I'm scared to death. So I'm like, how bad is this place? So I look at the pictures online on Google Maps.
Not a good job.
All bikes.
It's not a good. They need to change their Google pictures.
And I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to die. Now, I said I wasn't scared because I had done a biker bar before, but that was just to lie. I was pretty nervous about going in. And then I get there and I pull up and the first impression. So I walk. I'm walking to the door, and there's a pit bull peeing on a 4x4 tire. And I was like, oh, well, this is just perfect. This is literally imagery of what this is going to be like,
it's
right?
It's the pit bull that's eating everybody up at the bar.
So I walk in, and the very first sign I see, and I can tweet this out. This is pretty funny, though. But the very first sign that I see says the following. Woz has zero tolerance for fighting. 911 will be called, no exceptions. If you are offended by this sign, it probably pertains to you. And they have these signs every 3 feet. And I was like, I'm going to die tonight. So and also, this isn't in the bar, it's on the porch. So we're doing this outside on the porch.
Oh, really? Was it toasty?
It was a little warm. They did have an AC unit, which I pointed out. Well, whose idea was it to put an AC unit outside?
Did you wear the...
I mean, usually you get fans and you blow wind on people to cool
and
them
misters.
Off. But an AC unit, it was in the back next to all the drunk people. Bro, they could not have been the nicest. They were the nicest, most salt-of-the-earth people. It was one of the best shows I've ever had. I sold more shirts Saturday night than I've ever sold at any single show in 6 years
now,
of
do
doing
you think
comedy.
You had God on your side, though.
Why did I have God on my side?
Well, because the Popes were there, and the
Pope
Mobile.
Well, the Popes showed up.
And they did a good job from what I saw on Twitter,
by
making
the way,
sure people came out.
Oh, yeah. They had all kinds of friends there, which is ironic, too. Shout out to the Popes. Love the Popes. They've supported me for a very long time. It's weird that I'm expecting to go to this place and I'm going to be heckled by all these tough bikers. And the only person that heckled me all night was Lauren Pope.
Not she surprising. Was so drunk.
Well, she had a few popes. That's why.
She was yelling, and I was just like, and I even pointed it out. I was like, it's ironic that the only person here heckling me is my friend. Everybody else was like, couldn't have been a better audience member. So many listeners came out from the station. It was great, man. The crowd was great. I had a good set. It was fun.
You wore your Canadian tuxedo?
I did. Yeah. I wore, you know, when in Rome, so I wore denim because I was like, well, yep. If I, you know, I'll rock the denim shirt on the denim jeans. And it was just an outstanding time.
Good
and
deal.
I highly recommend if you're in that part of Texas and you want to catch a comedy show, they do it monthly. I think Andy Huggins is going to be there next month.
Oh, cool.
I called him. I was like, bro, you have to do this show. So I'm trying to get Becky, who books it, and Andy connected so he can do the next show.
That's great.
But it was the complete opposite of what everybody said it was going to be.
And let's be honest.
The absolute complete opposite.
Parlay that to what happened Friday when we were in at the West.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fantastic. People came out in droves.
Yeah.
They couldn't have been nicer, more supportive. They're all loyal listeners.
I would say half the crowd, and there was probably, I don't know, close to 75, 80 people. Half the crowd was listeners at Wolves.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know what I liked about them the most is that they were genuinely watching you guys the whole time. Not just the suspects, but the blitz. They enjoy. They have a passion for radio. They are genuine listeners. So shout out to Eric Resendez, L.U. Dillon, and even shout out to Brandon, even though he doesn't like my music.
Is he the one that didn't like your music?
Yeah, he's like, I want to play some old country. I'm like, we're not playing old country on the show, sir. But
no,
maybe
support.
Once for you.
The Popes again. Yeah, there were so many people. The Steeler fan club, they were all there. So we appreciate everybody that came out, and we look forward to getting down there again as we're going to make, I think, monthly appearances down in Beaumont. So that should be fun and exciting.
And the owner, Mike, called the Blitz the B-team. So shout out to Mike.
Yeah, Mike was great.
Shout out to Mike for speaking the truth. Yeah, if you didn't come to the comedy show Saturday, it's probably be another year before I'm out there, so that's on you.
Make it to the remote.
And if you're from Beaumont, don't ask me when my next show is, because now you knew and you didn't go, so suck it. But if you did go, thank you.
Well, you do know how to stir it up. All right, that's 90 in the book, still 90 to go. The second half of the show is next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half of the show starts right now. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in the big city. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride and making us a part of your afternoon listening pleasure on a daily. Again, shout out to the good people of the 409 and in Beaumont. Great support there. We'll bring more shirts next time, we promise, because there was a large clamoring for those as well. Nick, I don't think there was any truth to the rumor that you gave them all away carnival fashion.
I did not. I did not give them away. I mean, we had a couple like suspects, like the Popes. You know, well, we gave one to Aaron Pope, but Lauren said I would totally wait for one that's my size.
Yeah.
So I asked our promotions director Courtney to put one aside for her. So yeah, I mean, I think maybe we upped the number a little bit.
I think,
but
we
I don't know. I don't know if we promised our suspects that there's going to be an incredible number of.
I mean, we were billing it last week that we were going to bring. Shirts down there to get yours. So, you know what? It's just, you got something more to look forward to the next time we come down there. But we had a great time. It was a fun time had by all. So we appreciate everybody there. And as I was saying, we were spending so much time early in the show talking about football. What everybody failed to realize is the Astros took care of business against the Royals this weekend. Wade Miley got back on track, although he still had a rough first inning. It wasn't as rough as 7 runs. They found a way to pelt the scoreboard full of crooked numbers, put up a dozen, and now they're sitting in another great situation. They went into the series, and we were wondering, are they struggling? Are they scuffling? You know, what's going on to get right? Well, they got right. They got right in a big way. It was the Kansas City Royals that got them right. Now they're coming home with a night off tonight to get ready to welcome in the Rangers back where they should belong with the best record.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of like some of these games that – playing the Dolphins, though. You gotta
sure
take these wins and the series sweep with a grain of salt. I think the good news is that you're right. It does get Wade Miley back on track a little bit more, and he gets to go out and build some confidence. And now you basically are down to a 4-man rotation for at least the next 8 games because of off days.
Right.
And then we'll see what they do in that last series or so as they set this rotation up for the playoffs. So,
and, you know, in looking at that too, sometimes the best thing that you can do is the timing of the schedule to have an opponent like that. Because like you said, Wade Miley's stuff didn't just suddenly just disappear and never to be heard from again.
Looked like it did for a little while.
Right, and a lot of people, again, because this team is so good that people are going to overanalyze everything that goes well and everything that doesn't. But when you look at it, hey, that series came along at the exact right time for him and some others. But when you look at what they were able to do offensively, the others that I'm referring to would be none other than Reddick. Because when you look at Reddick putting a 5-for-5 on the board, and we know he had been scuffling, and his average was falling and dropping like a lead balloon, and people were wondering, what's he going to become playoff time if he's really starting to fall off now? Well, again, another big confidence boost besides Miley was the fact that Reddick had a 5-for-5 game, had a long ball, and that can only help him have more confidence when he goes to the plate, when he comes up in this Rangers series at home, and going forward. So for a lot of ways, they got right on the Royals at the exact right time. Yankees still dealing with a lot of injuries.
Well, they got Betances back, though.
They did get Betances back. They also got Severino back, and they're thinking that's going to be a weapon. But you'd more likely want to be in the Astros' position, sitting out front and knowing that you're going to be healthy for the most part, than dealing with the Yankees, hoping that these guys come back and come back in time. Stanton's another guy. They need to get that extra oomph in their lineup. They need pitching help, as we all know, both starting and in the bullpen. So I think the Astros sitting in a very good position. They always have been, but now they kind of solidified it again after this weekend.
Well, it was nice to run 3 guys out there after Miley's start that had north of 5 ERAs and not have to worry about it, and they can just go out and get some innings and get some work, and the bullpen as a whole can relax. So that's also a plus from facing a team like the Royals and building up a lead as big as they had.
Except Fromber.
Fromber's Fromber. Fromber gonna Fromber.
Yeah, and I don't think he's gonna Fromber his way onto the playoff roster.
No way.
So I'm
Astros
not
had
about it.
3 long balls. What was your favorite ding dong to look at? Was it Reddick's, Tucker's, or Gurriel's?
I was thinking about the day before when you just loved the your ding dong.
Oh, your
whenever your Don goes with the your ding dong.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned that, Reddick did have some long balls, so you were interested in those too?
I don't know that I was interested in them, but I am here to report them. So okay. I've done my duty. How about that?
I'm just checking.
And the ball that Jordan hit out too, by the way, when they were talking about the launch angle and the fact that laser beam to dead center field, it was like a 19-degree launch angle and still went like 4-something for a 3-run homer was extremely impressive.
Hey, real quick, I tweeted out a picture of the sign from WO's. I don't know if it's WO's or WO's. I still don't know. Everybody says it, and then I forget because I don't pay attention. Maybe I don't care. I don't know.
See, there you go again.
But there was the sign that said, no fighting, we'll call 911. And then they had that same sign on one of the doors that everyone that had been arrested for fighting signs. So there's a lot of signatures on that sign. I tweeted those out if you want to see it.
The good news is once you've been kicked out, you still are welcome to come back.
Yeah, you can come back and fight again another day. That's how it goes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. Hey, you know what else is nice? Get Upside. You can also use Get Upside another day, just like you can at Woes if you get in trouble. But Get Upside's not going to get you in trouble. It's going to get you cash back. And that's a beautiful thing about this app, man. I love it. Guys, if you haven't downloaded it yet, I don't know what else it's going to take, but you're just being silly because you just hate money. It's obvious if you're not using this app. This app gets you cash back for stuff like gas and food when you pay for it. You get your cash back. That's the important thing to remember. This is your money. Don't just give it away. If you were, let's say you go to Wendy's and buy lunch and they're like, oh, hey, here's $3 back, and they just slide you some change that you weren't supposed to get, you'd be thrilled about that. And that's basically what happens when you use Get Upside and you go eat and through the app, or you go pump gas and use the app. It's so easy to use. Featured on ABC 13, and this money is your money, so you're getting your money back is what it amounts to. And speaking of amounting to, you can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back every time. And if you'll put in my promo code Barry when you download the app, you'll get a little bump the very first fill up that you have. We've had, my wife got 30 cents a gallon cash back, but I've had people say they got $7, $5. It just depends on where you go, but you will see an increase in that first fill up, and it's great, man. It gets you started. And then every time you fill up, you'll get up to 25 cents a gallon. And every time you go out to eat, you can get up to 35% cash back. And here's a little something I don't talk about very often with GetUpside, but you can refer your friends. And if you refer your friends to start using it, you give them your promo code, just like I have a promo code, but I don't get anything for it. You will actually get money in your account for your promo code when your friends use it. So many ways to get money through GetUpside, and it costs you absolutely nothing. You're already spending this money, so why not get some of it back? Guys, do yourself a favor. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, wrapping up hour number two, going through three. If you're The Usual Suspects, and we know that you are, you'll take us all the way till four. Blitz takes you till seven, all right here on ESPN 97.5, where you get the best in sports information, entertainment, and otherwise. So we had a lot of football talk. We talked a little bit about the Astros. Other things, guys, I got to be honest. If you watched any football highlights yesterday.
Every time you say guys, I just expect you to do your jump. Gas!
You want me to do the McClain?
No, I got to say this, though, before we go on. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
But it just happened so quickly. But you doing the Texas Hammer at the end of the show on Friday brought the house down. People were clamoring for Joel to do his Jim Adler impression live.
They were, and they were
they were
ecstatic.
So mad that he wasn't going to do it. And then at the very end, you did it, and the place erupted.
But
I think kudos to you.
And I would say, what is it, your Mattress Mac joke, where the people that have seen you perform before is always like, do that, do the Mac joke,
yeah,
do the Mac joke.
Yeah.
It's like, and you and I have talked about this, like, we're there's not a button where the minute you request it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, we're not a jukebox, but.
But I could not do it when there were so many people that were so great about showing up. Friday, but it was awkward because, you know, we suddenly had a speaker and everybody was like,
there's a rumor that I might get to interview him for a Houston sports show.
Oh, you got to do it. You got to do it. And you can't just be half-assed either.
They asked me, do I want to do it? I was like, hell yes, I want to do it.
Yeah.
Very first question. Do you know what Joel Blank is?
Can you listen to Usual Suspects?
By the way, before I interview him, I'm going to have to get rid of this eye twitch. Because my eye has been twitching for like 3 weeks, and I don't know why it's doing
that. It's contagious. Joel gave it to you.
It freaks me out, though.
You know that karma thing we were talking about? Yeah. It might be more than just
nuggets. But you're the one that does it, not me.
But you pointed it out.
No, he pointed it out.
Did I?
I don't know.
Yeah, you did.
Well, you found a way to put it on the net.
But do you ever get that? Like an eye twitch?
Sometimes. It doesn't last long, though.
Oh, my God. Mine's been doing it for
like,
3 weeks
his,
now.
Like, old boy that used to, the running back used to be with the Titans, Chris Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
He's got that, the whole head.
Well, that's Tourette's,
no, no, no,
isn't it?
No. I don't think it's Tourette's, but he has some. And there was another running back I saw this weekend that does similar, but I've had the thing where I've had it in my eyelid.
It's just my eyelid.
It goes away after a certain amount of time.
It starts pulsing really fast, and it's been doing it for 3 weeks. Non-stop? And I don't know what causes it. No, it'll start, and then it'll stop for a little while. A couple hours will go by, it'll do it again. I don't know why. My wife was like, well, are you stressed out? I'm like, I'm always stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, are you getting enough sleep? I never get enough sleep. Are
what?
Are you taking your vitamins?
Dude, hold on. Time hold out. On, hold
you
on,
never
hold
get
on,
enough
hold
sleep.
On. Never
you get enough sleep for all three of us.
You take three naps before you get to work. It's 1 o'clock. That's when you're supposed to show up.
I get up at 4:30 in the morning.
You go to bed at 5, if that.
No.
4:45.
Whatever. 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah, okay. A good 45 minutes awake.
No. I didn't take my nap today until like 9:30.
So you got a nap in, and yet
yeah,
you still don't get enough
sleep. Yeah, I was
up
for 5 hours. I also went to bed at midnight, so I got 4.5 hours of sleep.
Video
got
games up. Were intense?
No.
Okay.
And then I got 9 hours of sleep total, but it was broken up.
Well, those PlayStation controllers can really get
just out of whack.
Actually, no, less than that. I got 6 hours of sleep because I went to bed at 12 and got up at 4:30, then went to bed at 9:30 and got up at 11.
God, you're way off your normal schedule of 11 hours plus.
No, I don't normally get 11 hours. You guys are – that's not true.
Who fits in two naps before noon?
Not
you.
Sometimes it's two naps. It's mostly one. Listen, this is off track.
This is like
I'm
a new commercial.
Trying to figure out
Barry's
why.
Commercial, like instead of the Army, you know, we do more before 6 a.m. than you do all week. Barry naps more before 11 a.m. than most do all week.
I'm trying to figure out why my eyelid is so jankety, though. I don't know why it's doing this. It's doing it right now.
I'm not going to lie, but when if I get a twitch, it happens. It lasts 3-4 days, sometimes a week. So
no, this is I'm going on week 3. Of it doing this. And then I don't know if people can see it or not.
I can't see. I can't really see it twitching.
Man, I don't know. This bothers me.
If you put your glasses on, I might be able to.
Because it magnifies things.
I don't know about all that. But, yeah, so I was watching the NFL games yesterday, a Red Zone channel and all that and everything. I can't help but think that, remember last year when the NFL, all the rage was all of the excessive roughness on the quarterback. This year it's been replaced by this offensive pass interference and the fact that the league either is going to challenge it. Look, I'm watching the Packer-Viking game, and if I'm a Vikings fan, I feel for you. Because I had no clue. They got a touchdown to Stephon Diggs, and he caught it at the goal line. He fell in. Mm-hmm. They went to review. I thought they were reviewing it to see if he got in, and I'm like, oh my God, it's a no-brainer. He took the contact. The ball was way over the goal line. Why would they even review it? They came back and waved off the touchdown and said in the process of him catching the ball and rolling over the goal line that Dalvin Cook actually blocked on a pick route for offensive pass interference instead of reviewing. And they waved it off, and the Vikings ended up getting a field goal instead of a touchdown. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't even argue if. But then I thought back, and I thought, a year ago, the Packers should beat the Vikings, but Clay Matthews on his final sack, which ended the game in an interception, was called for excessive roughness on the quarterback, gave the Vikings a second chance, and they ended up winning the game. So I don't feel too bad, but then I watched in the Raiders game, Antonio there was a blatant call in the Steelers-Seahawks game where there was offensive pass. They didn't call it. They didn't overturn it. And then Antonio Brown takes two hands and pushes the defensive back in the small of the back away, catches the ball, and that wasn't blatant enough to call. And I'm going, what are they doing?
Yeah, I think they're going to err on what happens on the field, especially if it's challenged, if there was a call or no call. And I think you're going to have to say, I think they're looking for like what happened in that Saints-Rams game where they're like, oh, that was a pass interference that wasn't called, so we're going to challenge to get that call. But if it was like there was an offensive pass interference, I think in the Texans game that
that
they reviewed and didn't overturn, it's got to be really obvious, I think.
But I've seen some where either you thought it was really obvious and they didn't, or you thought that there's no way that they can't call that. And the other thing that I'm saying, with all that being said, the last thing you expect is for them to call a pick in terms of something that no one was looking for, no one was paying attention to. Mm-hmm. And if you're the NFL in doing so, and because you're partaking from New York as part of the review process, you are absolutely open up in a can of worms you don't want. Because now, because you've made that call, people are going, what the hell is the spirit of the rule in the first place? We thought we were trying to avoid the Saints-Rams debacle, but instead now you're really opening up a huge can by saying, oh, by the way, when we're reviewing something else, we can go back and look, even though neither team threw a challenge flag, and we can go, that right there, that's a pick play, which everybody runs. But the fact that you're going to call it, wave off a touchdown because of it, and bring attention to it, I don't think it's a good look.
Okay. To me, it's just a matter of, did you get it right? Was it the right call? Doesn't matter.
Well, here's the other tricky
part. I mean, was it the right call, though, Joel? In that case, was it a pick?
I'm going to say, I don't
think.
It's
just like saying they don't call holding on
every play.
Let me
tell you why
I
don't
that.
Think it was. Because in slow motion, when they really slow it down, it looks like he's blocking. When you play it at live speed, it looks like he's just trying to get through the congestion. Obviously, the intent was to kind of distract a defender, but I don't think that was nearly the content that it looked like when it was slowed down.
Mm. Okay.
So, and that's just one. I mean, I'm giving you four different games. Carr for the Raiders went nuts about, I don't even know what the spirit, I mean, what they're trying to call anymore because of the offensive PI that they said they're going to pay attention to. And then when they show you on film two guys that are interfering with your receiver before the ball gets anywhere close to them and they don't call it, even when they see the review, then I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. It can be a can of worms that you open up, but
it can affect the way people bet on games, too.
I see what you did right there. You're welcome. Hey, guys, we all know football season's here. And I did my picks. I do them every week, and I put them on Twitter even though I was late. I'm 9-6 so far. I got one more game to go with this Browns-Jets game. If I win that, 10-6, that's a good run for me on a week. And if you're betting or you're following that, you should be doing that with MyBookie. MyBookie.ag is the premier place to bet because not only do you bet, you win, you get paid. But you get paid quickly, and you don't have to go through a bunch of hoops that the other places make you go through to not get your money out because they don't want to give you your money that easily. They make it difficult. Not at MyBookie.ag. They make it super easy. I've had listeners texting the show and telling me how easy it was. They had $1,000 in their account. They sent it to, they asked to get it back from MyBookie. No problems. And that's going to be the same thing with you. Plus, they've got some of the best odds and prop bets of any sports book out there. Did you know you can bet after kickoff? So if you missed it, you can still get in on the action for the games and you can parlay stuff. So if you've got, you know, you can start off with a small wager, put those parlays in there and end up with some huge profits. It's all there at MyBookie. Don't bet with some no-name sports book. If you're going to bet, bet smart and bet with MyBookie.ag. They are the best in the business. And if you sign up today, MyBookie's going to double your first deposit. That is up to $1,000 in free money for you to bet on your favorite teams or your favorite bet, for that matter. It doesn't even have to be your favorite team. Guys, use promo code radio, and you can take advantage of that up to $1,000 in free money, that doubling of your first deposit. It couldn't be easier. It couldn't be more fun. It couldn't be safer. Go check them out right now. It's mybookie.ag, promo code radio, where you play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.